bless you. I've been kind of teaching this as we go all over. But the word hallelujah is known as what? Yeah, it is known as the highest praise, but it isn't the highest praise. Hallelujah is the command to praise. So David would stand up in front of Israel and he would say, hallelujah. And Israel would lose their mind in praise. Now, the wonderful thing about a hallelujah is the reason why we kind of consider it the highest praise is because it's the culmination of all the praises in one moment. So you have a tahilah, which means to sing, and the zamar, which means to play skillfully, and you have the yada, which means to throw your hand. Somebody need to throw your hands up today and just say, forget it, everybody. And I'm going to explain what that yada means. Yada was the fourth son of Leah and Jacob. And she had tried to please Jacob three times until she got to that fourth one. I really think that was she got pregnant by mistake. That's my own eisegetical look into it. And so she ended up pregnant. And this time she said, oh, forget it. She threw her hands up in the air and she said, I ain't gonna try to please this old raggedy man no more. It ain't always a raggedy man. It can be a raggedy woman too. All right. And so somebody need to give God a yada today. You need to stop trying to please flesh and throw your hands up in the air and say, I give you everything, Lord, today. That's a, yeah. Now, Dre, if you can get me in here a little more. But a yada and a todah, that's also throwing your hands up. All of these are forms of praise, a blessing. You ever seen the people at the wall, the Wailing Wall, they rocking back and forth? You ever seen that? That's them giving a barak. And so there are many praises culminating in the one experience and one moment. Somebody might take off running in the room. And the phenomenal thing about it is your praise, what you do, can cause someone else to have a breakthrough. You can take off running and somebody who can't run will get up and start walking. You just never know with God. And so it's these moments that we build. And so I'm going to teach to you in a second something very intriguing that the Lord challenged me with over the years, something I thought I understood and thought I knew, but now I know differently. And so I'm going to share it with you. But when I say hallelujah, I want you to give God everything. Now, there was another one. I forgot this one. It's a shabak. If I was to say shabak, what would you do? You would open up therapeutically from your heart and let something loose, right? And you would shout out, amen? All right, close to it. Now, this is a multicultural congregation tonight, and it's a kingdom culture, okay? It's a multicultural congregation as far as flesh is concerned, but it's a kingdom culture. It's a unified culture as far as the kingdom is concerned, amen? So I know how we folk can be, us Pentecostal, charismatic, kingdom people. When we really let it out, we can let a good praise out, can't we? Amen? Yeah. All right, so I'm going to act like David, or I'm going to act like the leader, which at this moment I am with the microphone anyhow, and I'm going to say hallelujah, and you let it go, okay? Y'all ready? All right, and let me say this. Praise is intentional. It is not hype you up. Praise, you intend to praise God. I came here intending to do something for God tonight. I came here intentional. Is there anybody who understands what I'm saying?
Yes.
Did anybody come to give? You know, back in the day, we would say, I'm going to give God his tonight. Yeah. Anybody come to give God his?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. What? God.
God is good, isn't he? Look at somebody and preach to him and tell him he's a good God. Look at somebody else and preach to him and tell him he's a good God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Well, I am honored to stand up before you tonight to minister word of the Lord to you. I ask that you would please, we are gathered here tonight because of something we all have in common, and that is the voice that called us here, and that is that of Leon Timbo. Would you all bless the Lord for Leon tonight? Come on, y'all can bless God for Leon. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the other side to this is there wouldn't be a place to have it had somebody not opened up their heart and God directed them. So would y'all please bless the Lord for Pastor Lewis and his beautiful wife. Yes. Praise God. And there are many people here from out of town, many pastors. Pastor Betty is here. Pastor Betty Butler is from Chicago area. My good friend who I grew up with as a brother is here, Pastor Walter Jordan, and those from Mansfield, Ohio, and great church in Mansfield. There are others here. I'm looking for Evelyn, and I'm looking for Kelly. Is Kelly here? There is Prophetess Kelly Cruz over there. Amen. Amen. And there are some others here. Who else came from out of town? Yes, they came from Columbus. There are some people coming from Columbus that are on the way or here. So I thank God for everyone here. God bless you. Let's get ready to go into the Word. How many of you anticipating a word from the Lord today? Is there anybody anticipating something from God? I want to say something real quick. Last night, if you were here last night, do you remember when the gentleman was playing the saxophone? And so Antonio Allen, and he was tremendous. Thank you. Check. Okay, this is better. Antonio was blowing the horn, and remember when he sustained that note for so long? And then afterwards, Leon prophetically started singing, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." Remember that? Well, this is what happened. I needed you to hear this, and the people here who were in a part of this. What happened is he began to blow, and like a laser, that note was cutting the heavens open. It was cutting the heavens open. It was cutting that ceiling that was there. It was just cutting it open like a laser would, like it would cut a sheet of glass. It was just like that. And when he got done, that's why Leon went into holy, 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 because God identified himself. And when we see God, the first thing we have to say is, do you know that's why angels are stuck and all they keep saying is holy, holy, holy? Because every time they think they got a new revelation of him, he shows them something else. And so those angels are stuck on holy. And the funny thing about that is, I said he shows them, but their eyes are covered up because he's so holy until they can't stand it. I mean, can you get it? And let me tell you something wonderful. Angels don't have the same invitation that you and I have to the throne. They can't look upon God's holiness and get his full expression the way you and I can. So we should consider ourselves privileged to be able to walk before God in such a position. Amen? Would you go in your Bibles to, I think, let's just do Genesis 1 first. Genesis 1 first.
Robert Stearns was tremendous last night. And he blessed me and kind of got me going. Dre, I'm going to switch. Amen. Can you hear me? Got me? All right. And so he was a tremendous voice last night, very apostolic, very prophetic, and quite apropos. And I sat there like happy because he started preaching some of what I was going to talk about. So I have two pieces to what I'm going to present to you tonight. And I believe you're going to be blessed. Amen? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now let's back up for a minute. I need you to notice, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then there's a period. Everybody say a period.
Period.
Notice the period. The period is very important for you to notice because that ends that statement. Okay? Now, verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, I need you to understand something. Heads up, come to me. Whenever God does something, he does it right the first time. God is never trying. And we preachers have a bad habit of saying God is trying to do this. God is trying to get you here. God is trying to get you to do this. And God's trying to set you up for a blessing. The minute God tries is the minute he ceases to be God. So God's not trying anything. God is God. You know, the God who, listen, God don't live in eternity. Eternity came out of God. God is not limited by infinity. Did you hear that? He's not limited by infinity. He exceeds the limitation of no limitation. God is God. So God never has to try anything. God is not about to. God ain't gonna. You understanding? These are our idiosyncrasies. And there are things that are going to manifest from what he's already done. I asked him, Pastor, I said, why are you sitting? He says, because I'm finished. I'm done. He's seated. Jesus is seated. The Holy Ghost is alive in us, helping us to manifest what Jesus already took care of. Y'all catching this? All right, so here's my point. Verse 1 is a picture of perfection. Verse 2 is imperfection. In other words, something happens in between verse 1 and verse 2 that causes this imperfection. Now watch this. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Deep waters is what it was. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Everybody say hovering. In the King James, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved. Now, all of these are kind of synonymous, but the better one is hovering. Another version says brooded, breeded. Everybody hear me. Brooded and breeded. It kind of comes to where we get the word breath. It breaks down to the word breath. All of those are relative. One little statement for you. A lot of you feel like you're drowning because there's this deep, dark, you know, the hovering over your water, and it feel like you're drowning. But the wonderful thing about this period of your life where you feel like you were under the water drowning is that God is the one who breathes or broods or breathes. Breathe. He breathes for you. So while you're thinking you're going under and you're about to drown, you don't worry. God's doing your breathing for you. You're about to give birth to something great. But right now, that's why a mother carries a child. The mother carries the child, and the child is in nothing but is water, swimming. And the mother is doing all the breathing for the baby. You need to understand real quick that God, whatever he said over your life, will manifest. Whatever God promised you will happen.
For us, it is a will or will manifest, but for him, it is. Are you catching this? So here we go. The Spirit of the Lord of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of the God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, one of the most fascinating things about that is that the word hovering means he broods over you. Now, catch this. In an overprotective position. All right, please catch this. He's hovering over you in an overprotective position. That's why he can say things like this. I won't let anything come upon you more than what you are able to handle. Because he knows what he allows in. And whatever he allows in, he knows it can't destroy you. Now I'm about to jump off this thing, but I'm trying to keep my composure. God knows that no matter what you're dealing with, it cannot destroy you. Because if he allowed it to get through, it can do nothing but make you better. It boils down to a quality decision on your part. Are you here? Anyhow, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Verse 3 says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and there was light. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 real quick, and then I'll stop reading, because I got to accomplish two things here. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. All right? It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. Everybody say love.
Love.
For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Let's go. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, watch this. Let's read it together. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Everybody say, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Love is the fulfillment of the law.
I know you're wondering, what does all this have to do with the worship conference and everything that we're in right now? Let me make a few statements that'll challenge you. I am always challenged to go to another dimension, another degree of thought, another level of thought. And so every time I lock myself into what I think I got, God always shows me something else. So the more I think I know, I've just decided to quit thinking I know and just stay open to learn more. Amen. I used to be captivated by the teaching of worship and praise that we were sitting under a few years ago, and how we talked about praise and it's one thing and how worship is another thing and how worship is a lifestyle and worship is this. And a lot of that is so accurately correct and true. Amen. But I think sometime we have began to worship. And not in the true sense of worship, but we just come to this place where we say things like, I don't even want to be around people. I just want to be in worship. I just want to be in God's presence all day long. And we equate God's presence to the four walls running in the church. And goodness, if it's Leon, then we're good. But if it's not the worship leader we like, then, you know, we have a problem worshiping. We have a problem letting go. Worship is not something you should ever be stirred up to. It's something that personally is your personal passion. Let me also explain something. Worship is not simply about a song. Neither is worship about a dance. Worship should not be limited to just coming into the church, singing and dancing, falling on the floor, in some cases just crying until you can't cry no more, tears all in the carpet, and even, you know, you know, extra bodily fluids and whatever else we want to let go of. You know how we get in. We get real deep and we don't want nobody around us. But let me explain something to you that God began to touch, to put into my spirit. The Lord told me, he says, worship is not real, is not genuine unless you have people around you that you also appreciate. He says, you have got to know the value of those who are around you. He says to me, watch this, because I was always taught worship was vertical. Amen? That all our worship just straight up to God. But God said to me, he says, worship must be horizontal and vertical at the same time. Now, this is a little different teaching, but I need you to come with me. Here's the bottom line. This man of God is a man of God because the Lord lives inside of him. He's not just a preacher. This man of God is a man of God. He handed me the microphone. This is the pastor. This is the microphone hander. Okay? Much more important, he says. But both equally important. You know why? Because without the microphone, you wouldn't hear me. Without the pastor, I couldn't be in this room. Without me, you won't hear what I'm saying. You get it? With all of us, God is moving through all of us to accomplish, to bring us to a place of equal oneness, rather, to where we began to appreciate what's in him, what's in him, and what's in me. You catching this? Who is in me? Christ in me. God, Jesus ain't in the sky somewhere running around. He is Christ where?
In me.
He gives his location. Talk to me. Let's go. Christ
in me.
The hope of
glory.
If there's going to be any real glory expression, it's going to be because Christ was turned on in me and expressed through me. Y'all okay? Watch this. He says, greater is he who is
in me
than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is
in me.
He gives his location again. That's why when we give our life to the Lord, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the embodiment of all that God is, goes in and collides with our person. We become one with God. That's why Jesus says, hey, Father, I pray just like you and I are one, that they will be one with us. And we are called the body, not the bodies. And the interesting thing about that is we have hurt our own selves. So we say the white people go over there, the black people go over there, the Hispanic people go over there, and we're not going to come to find out who God is, because you guys know him as a white Jesus and I know him as a black Jesus, and you guys know him as Jesus. So we're fractioned off. Are you here? Now, how many of you came in here fractioned today? No matter if you a small body, a big body, a skinny body, or, you know, extra body. You here tonight. You walked in as one body into this room, right? You didn't send your arms over there to the left side of the church and say, sit down, and your legs over there to that side, and you told your feet to come up here and sit by pastor with your heart over here in this section. It was one body that came into the room to meet with the body. And here's what happens in our worship. I'll go before God and cry and lay on my face, but I'll be mad with my neighbor. I will tell, you know, one of the funny things that really troubles me is we operate in reverse. We put the ministry in front of what's in God's heart. Ministry is only channeling us back to God's heart. It was never meant to separate us from what's on his heart. He ordained family before he had any apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and or teachers.
Jesus.
I mean, for thousands of years, we didn't hear about no evangelists. I mean, no apostles and evangelists. We didn't hear about that. They had prophets because they couldn't hear from God. So God said, I'm going to have to get a dude on the earth, a couple people, and so that they can, you know, hear what I got to say, because they won't listen to me no more. Let me put a prophet out. You understand? All right? But now we have problems in the church. People will leave their husbands or leave their wife because they want to go after a ministry. How about you master that ministry before you come talking about this ministry? Both of them go take a little work. But I think what it is people get caught up with the limelight, which ain't so lime. And we get caught up with a bunch of things like that. But back to my point, worship, when we come into a place of worship, what we end up doing is we don't like the people sitting next to us. But we want to offer God a praise. But if God is the same God in him that is here, that is in me too, then my worship is not complete unless I walk in with love. My worship isn't genuine unless I know how to love my neighbor as myself. Jesus said it like this. The scripture said it like this. He says, how can you say you love me? You love him when you have never seen him, but you hate the person next to you. What kind of love is that? What kind of worship can we genuinely have if we don't know the worth of each other? It's not going to happen. Value must be placed in a proper place before value can be valuable. This man can be valuable to me in two senses. One, I can love him and he can love me. And that puts a real value on it, which means I have access to what is his, because now the value of our love towards each other is based upon covenant, not items. So we can say we love each other and begin to love each other based upon covenant. Now we got to grow to know each other. But we can love each other. You understand? Or I can say, this man obviously got a little bit of money. He got a nice building. His wife is good looking. His children, they doing things, you know. And I can say, you know, I just need him to help me get to where I'm going. Come on. I can have one or the other. One will bring great limitation, and I will never put a value on him. I will put a value on this. And I'll never know who he is. I'll just know what he has. Do y'all know that's how we do God? We do God like this. God, get me a car. And I'll praise you for the rest of my life. And guess what? You get that car and you forget. Because you didn't pay attention to covenant, you paid attention to his hand. What can he give you is what you get locked up in. Are you here? But God calls us to another place. Now, that's my first part of my little worship discussion. Because one of the things that have to happen is we've got to learn to love each other. We got to learn to pull each other and fight with each other. Listen, if a person gets cancer, their body normally goes into repair mode. Actually, it is more medicines and things that the doctor do that cause us to get sicker. But the reality is your body says, if you are feeling bad in your hand, your arm, your hand, guess what happens? The whole rest of your body rushes to the need of making sure that your arm, your hand, and everything gets better.
That's right.
Quickly, because it feels this pain. Amen. The only body, seemingly, is the body of Christ who will run to attack the other parts of the body. We take off. Let him get on TV tomorrow. They say that Pastor Lewis, he was walking downtown and with his shirt off. Y'all know what we'll do? Judgment is coming to the house of God. That's what we'll do. We'll start and we'll get on the phone. Did you hear about Pastor Lewis? He done lost his mind. They said Pastor Lewis was walking down the street with his shirt off, with his belt unbuckled. It'll be on the news and we will interview with the newscast to make sure he's embarrassed for what he's done. Instead of saying, wait a minute, maybe we need to hover over him. Maybe we need to cover him. Then we'll show God how much we really worship him. Mm-hmm. Because I'm confused. How can we hurt each other? You know, we got people who are destroyed in the line of duty. And we want to kill them. I mean, you know, we want to just destroy them. And I'm not out for trying to destroy, what do we call it, friendly fire? Friendly. How friendly is that fire? So that's number one. Number two, there are different degrees and dimensions of worship. Worship is when we go into God's presence, what we discover every single time is who he is, who we're not, but supposed to be. You go in and you see how holy he is. Then you get a picture of how holy you aren't. And then you hear the command, be ye holy, for I am
holy.
Come on, y'all know this scripture. Because I am what?
Holy.
So you be holy like I am. It is never God's intention for us to be less than him. Let this mind be in you. Watch this. Which is also in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Who being in the form of God, who else is in the form of God? Who else is in the form of God? You, me, us. Watch this. He thought. What did he think with his mind? It not robbery to be one with God. It says equal. That messes up people. Okay? But one with God. Jesus said, Lord, let us, Father, make them one with me just like I am with you so we can be a unit, so we can be one. I want them when they see you, they see me. When they see me, they see them. I want it to be that when they lift their hand, it's because you lifted your hand. I want it to be that they think just like us. So that when I think a thought, they already got it. And speaking it into existence. They will speak my thoughts into existence. Watch this. They will speak that which isn't into what is going to be. Watch this. It isn't here, but it is here. And since I think it, they speak it, it manifests here. Thy kingdom talk. Thy kingdom, thy will be where? Nope. In earth. Just like it is in heaven. Watch this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. This is earth. The Bible says the kingdom of God is in me. So the thing is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me. Right? Watch this. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? in the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost, when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, guess what comes? The kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. So he fills us and we walk around righteousness, peace, and joy. We are the walking kingdom. And the kingdom needs a voice. The kingdom needs a voice. Everybody say this. Say, the kingdom of God, is voice activated. Say it again. Say it again. Watch this. You shall have whatsoever you say. Say it again. That's right. Power of death and life are in the tongue. Watch this. Say it. Say it again. Say it one more time. Convince yourself. Now, I took you to Genesis because I need you to catch this. Once we get our worship right and once we start talking right, there is a sound that comes out of us. And sound is intriguing. Sound travels at 768 miles per hour. Every 5 seconds, sound has traveled 1 mile. Did you get that? That's phenomenal. Sound travels at 768 miles per hour. That means the sound that I... And let me say this before I say this part. Whatever sound I make never leaves the earth. It remains in echo form. It just keeps... It stays in the air. Are you here? That's why many of you can hear sounds from people who said negative things to you 30 years ago. And it sounds just as clear today as it did then. Because it just keeps traveling. 768 miles per hour, 1 mile every 5 seconds. Interesting. So watch this. Here is God. Let me show you the power of sound, okay? Here's God. God is, you know, in Genesis 1, verse 1, then there's verse 2 where all this stuff takes place. Well, in between verse 1 and verse 2, the earth now is without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Ghost is just hovering. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost is saying anything. Not saying a word. He's just hovering. Meaning he's sustaining. In an overprotective position to make sure that God's creation, although now without form, in the dark, in trouble, he wants to make sure that God's creation don't go nowhere. Let me tell y'all something. This is prophetic. That many of you have been broken over the last 5 years. I mean broken. But it wasn't the devil. It was God, the great potter, who found a flaw, cracked it up, and said, I can put you back together again. Remember the $6 million man? He'll be better. He'll be stronger. Faster. Can you imagine that you're getting a second wind when you're supposed to be getting older? Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Now here's God. Genesis 1, verse 2. Then you got verse 3. There's a problem. First you see a picture of perfection. Then you see an issue. Then you see God go to work. Verse 3 starts off like this. Then God made a sound. Then God said, he put some sound into the air. Theologically, some believe that he was actually singing at this point. So God starts singing, let there be light. Everybody catch this. God says, let there be. Now catch this. I need y'all to go physics with me, okay? Or science, whatever you want to call it. And God, at 768 miles per hour, gave a command. When he gave that command, it was to give me something to speed up the command. The command was, let there be light. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. 700 million miles per hour. So, when God said something, it was so the light can come on. So that his creation can speed up the process of healing. Did y'all get that? That which was destroyed and in a mess, now there is light moving at 100 at light speed off of one command, off of one sound, changing everything. See, the sound isn't about the noise that comes out. It is it's about the person doing the releasing. Who am I? What's in my heart? Because what's in me will make a sound out of me. Are you catching this? I prophesy to you that we're coming into a day where we're going to hear a new sound. And it's shaping up right now. I also prophesy to you that the world as we've known it has ended. We're walking into a new age, a new day. Don't y'all get alarmed when I say new age. New age, not in the sense of the other thing that we're talking about. Every counterfeit has a genuine. I'm talking about the genuine. We're walking into a new age. Every 2,000 to 2,500 years, there is a new age. That means there are certain things that happen without any man's permission. It just happens. It is like Robert Stern says last night, when Kairos opens up and walk into your Chronos and changes the everything. God, this is what happens. God takes his now and interrupts Earth's now and says, my now will be your now. So I need to give you something. Worship is about to change. It's not just going to be about song. It's not simply going to be about a dance and just a jump. It's going to truly be life. The way we're going to win people is how we worship. He says, you'll know that they're my disciples because the way they love each other. You'll know they've been with me in my presence by the way they love each other. That's not how our churches look right now. We say, I want to be in the presence of God. I want to go home. I hate him. And that's when God said, you're not a disciple. You're somebody working in my name, but I don't know you. Because if I knew you, you would have a better relationship with those around you. To know is about intimacy. If I know you, I'm intimate with you. Sex is not intimacy. Sex is a byproduct of intimacy. A lot of people done had sex but weren't intimate. We grown-ups. And the kids know more than us because we don't even pay attention to what they teaching them in school. Are y'all here? Everybody say it's a new day. So I prophesy to you, we're walking into a brand new day. Just do a prophetic gesture with me. Leave this place into a new day. I'm moving forward. I'm going someplace else. I'm not staying here. Let me tell y'all something. I was reading something today. 11 is a number that speaks to a gateway. Pastor, hear this. It speaks to a gateway. Everybody say a gateway. Into a new place. This is totally significant and awesome. It's a gateway from one place into a new place. That's why I tell you the world as we have known it is no more. Because the gateway of today, 11, 11, 11, walks us into a new day. Ha! Okay. Ha. Can somebody scream for me? All right. All right, good, good. I just thank you for getting that out for me. But, because I've been waiting for what I've been going through to end. I've been waiting for where I've been to be over. I've been waiting for what I've been looking at to be no more. That's where we are. But y'all got to catch this. I'm switching mics, gentlemen. What we have known before is over. Here's this. But not only is it over, it's three times over and three times into a new dimension. Watch this. It always gets stronger. 11 is one number, but 11:11 is two numbers. But watch this. 11 is putting 1,000 to flight. 11:11 is like putting 10,000 to flight. 11:11:11 says that's a dimension that once you tap into this new place, once you walk into this new door, there is no limitation. Yeah, it goes like this. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Yes. Ask, seek, knock. Watch this. It says, but the greatest of these is what? The greatest of these is what? Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is, back to my love sermon. Love is the place of no limitation. Love is the place where when we break through, nothing can stop us. That's why nothing can stop Jesus. That's why nothing can stop God. Because God so the world that he gave his only begotten son, and death could not stop him. It wasn't the fact that he was just God, it was the fact that he was a loving God. Are you here? Everybody say this, say it. My life is new. All things are different. That's why God gave us the privilege tonight. I'm going to tell you about at about 11:11, we're going to explode from intercession into a place of just breaking into a new dimension. And we're going to keep pushing. I know people are, you already done prophesied you're going to be tired. I promise you, you won't be tired. Just be here and just keep pushing. And just keep pushing. And we just go keep pushing. We go knock every door down that's ever limited us. We go keep pushing. Come on. Somebody do it with me. We just go keep pushing. We just keep on pushing. We go knock. I'm not even worried about the devil. I'm just wanting to get into those new dimensions. Let's just keep pushing. Come on. Push. Push. So, our whole look will change. Leon, this is going to get us out of the four doors, four walls. Where we are, church was meant to train people for this day. Church wasn't meant to limit people. It was meant to train us to change the world. I prophesy to you that your money will never be as good as it as good as it will be in the days to come. I prophesy to you, listen, that recession will never be your companion.
Let me try it again. Recession, not just financial recession. Recession, period, will never be your friend again. Recession will never be your friend again. I rebuke not the devil, I rebuke your mind, which has put limitation on God. And I declare that in the name of Jesus, your mind is open to a new realm in God that takes all limits off of your thinking, off of your actions, off of your work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I heal your mind. And I command you to think as God, to be as God. Yes. One more thing, and I'm going to say this, I'm really in my exit, okay? Take me down a little bit, Clinton. But watch this. I always thought that praise was horizontal. But praise is vertical. Worship is both horizontal and vertical. Worship comes out of a relationship, trust and love. Praise comes just because you breathe. Let everything that hath praise the Lord. But only a real worshiper can give him the kind of praise he deserves, because now relationship says, I praise you for more than this stuff. Watch this. Worship is not everything. Worship brings self-exposure. This is where we're going. We're going into a realm of glory. That's when God's essence becomes our essence. When we walk out of the 7 levels of worship to where we become one with God, and where God drops his essence on us. I know y'all say that's impossible. Well, in the Old Testament, without the New Covenant, Moses went up to the mountain. Then Moses came back down. Moses looked so much like God, till the people couldn't handle it. Moses' number one mistake was he accommodated flesh. He covered up his face. And he didn't release the glory. How we're going to change the world. To them he sanctified, he justified. We're going to be glorified. We change our mindset of how we do things. Right now, I'm so fascinated with being one with God. I don't look at myself in shame no more. I look at it like that's something else for me to get over and just keep walking. Just keep moving. I just drop it off at the altar and just keep going. Because I had a viewpoint of something greater than this. It's his glory. Does anybody want his glory? Now, don't get the bad picture. Let me fix this picture. Because I know when people think about his glory, they think we're just going to be laid out on the floor all day. But that's not true. You got to get up and go to work tomorrow. What it is, God's glory, it will come, it'll keep your flesh on the altar, but your godness, your divinity with him is what will rise. Did that make sense? It'll weigh down your flesh. The weighing down your flesh will keep you from getting eaten up in a lion's den. It'll keep you from being burned in a fiery furnace. Everybody say there's more. Tell them I want more. New day. Say it, new day. New day. Say, you make all things new. Come on, let's stand. Stick with me for a minute, okay? Put your hands up in the air and let's begin to. You know this, right? Come on, let's take it full speed ahead. Go ahead. You make
all things new. Yes, you. And I will follow you.
Go ahead, give me. Forward. Give me your hands. Let's go. Forward.
Forward. my past is over. I just walked through a new gateway. All things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. Not going back, no. I got hurt back there. I'm going. I'm not dwelling on old stuff. I'm going. Just for a second here, just for a little bit, throw your hands in the air. Forget about everybody around you. And just while Clinton plays, softly, keep your hands up long as you can, when you can't, no more. But I want you to forget everybody around you right now. And I want you to listen to the Savior. Just listen. Tune in. Just just a little longer. Thank you.
Here's the Spirit of the Lord speaking tonight, and he says, my voice will be heard, says the Spirit of the Lord. My voice will be heard through you. Come on up, says God. Come on up to a new place. I welcome you. It's an open invitation. I have opened the heavens. Effectual doors are opening. Do not shrink back, but draw nigh unto me. For therein you will discover who you are, and who you are is not who you, what you've been. I have so much more of my person to express through you. Yield yourself, and you shall see much greater than you've even imagined. For after all, I am he who is able to do infinitely more than you can imagine or think. Presently, I've only been able because you've only thought me to be able, but I'm more willing than I am able. Allow my will to become yours, and we'll rejoice together. Says the Spirit of grace. Yes. Yes, Lord. We're not leaving this room at this moment, but some of you, I just sense that you need to come drop off yesterday's stuff on the altar. Come drop it off. Spend a little bit of time here and then go back, but don't take it with you.
And the glory
At this church? Are you a pastor?
Yes.
Okay, I see pastor on you. Raise your hand, sir. Is your wife here with you?
No, she's not.
Raise your hands. I want to pray strength into you. The last few months have been kind of tough for you, and you've needed the strength of God. And so today, I pour the strength of God into you, into your life, into your home. I prophesy unto you, sir, that this isn't the end. You're getting started. And although the devil told you you might want to consider giving up, God says, no, this is the day actually that you've been waiting for that new breath, for that refreshing. And so today, says the Spirit of the Lord, there is a freshness coming upon you that's going to last another 40 years of your life. Yes, and although you will in one segment of ministry, it's only the entry point into a new place. And the Lord says he opens up those nations. There are two nations that seem to have been closed to you. He says he opened those up to you now. And he says, get ready to walk in those doors, my son. And he said, you shall be known as an apostolic father. He says, receive it, because I've shared it with you before. There it is, a freshness upon your person, a new anointing, a new authority, says the Spirit of the Lord. A new authority, a new authority, a new authority. And we command you to arise and shine, Franco, brother, Pastor Franco. We command you, help me, Timbo, to arise and shine. Arise and shine.
There's a new horizon when you arise. There's a new horizon when you arise.
The
end of yesterday,
the end of yesterday,
is the beginning of a new horizon. Oh, you will shine and arise,
arise and shine. Arise and shine
for the glory of the Lord. Oh, you will
arise and shine. Arise and shine for the glory of the Lord. Raise your hands.
You will be.
There's a new dimension coming upon you right now. The prophetic dimension is being more defined. It's not just about the gift or the anointing. It is coming with definition. And God says, out of this place today, you will always mark this day as a day where a new dimension triggered up in your person. And I release that over you. And this, there's a type of bondage. It's like a type of bondage you've been experiencing. But God says that is breaking today. And he says you're going into the fullness of who you are. And he says it's going to break because I'm healing situations. And I'm breaking down barriers that brought limitations, even though you're in the ministry, but there are other areas that God has for you. And even your family, because I keep seeing your family. God says there's healing there. So I release that upon your person, into your destiny, into the generations that follow you. In Jesus' name. Let's, everybody that's a member of Church CNC, I want you to please stand right now. Just take it down a little bit. Pastor, both of you have graduated into different areas. And the Lord told me today you have graduated into that third dimension. Okay, there's like you've been through the 30-fold and you've done well. And then you went to the 60-fold and you've done well. And God says there are things that have been attempting to bring a type of discouragement, but it hasn't been able to discourage you fully because you have seen God take dead situations and turn them around and bring a lot of glory to it. God said some things had to die in this last season as the season was ending. He says, because although it was one good relationship over here, it was a hindering relationship over here. And so things are now aligning themselves to where you have now graduated once more and to a place where not only the men of Hebron shall call you king, all of Israel, you know the lesson. And so God says the apostolic anointing on your life is now coming into full manifestation. He says you have some priorities, namely three right now. One is to shift the sound. And the other one is to dive in to where God is today. It's like, God, I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind. And so you've gotten like a second wind. And so God says he's opening you up to a new dimension where the sound is concerned, where the prophetic is concerned. Another flow of the prophetic, another wave is coming up on you. And I saw, you know, you and I discussed last night about Pastor Lester Summerall, Dr. Summerall. But I saw something being held back for a season from him. Now, not that he held it back. It was seasonal. You had to go through a period, and part of that mantle that you capture from him was being held for this particular season. And so God says, in this season here, this is the gateway that's walking you on the other side of this walkthrough, says the Spirit of the Lord. That mantle is being released upon you, and you shall wear it at another dimension. It's going to hit you because in your heart you seem like you've been limited to do some of the missions things that you have also wanted to do. And God says, I'm opening everything for you in this season. There will be no limitation. And woman of God, the Lord says, I speak to generational ailments that would try to catch up to you, and I cut them off. They have no access to you. Okay? God says you are shielded with the blood. I heard a song. We had a song of the Lord the other day, Timbo, and I think we can reduplicate it, but it said, bleed on me. Jesus, bleed on me. Okay. And so the Lord says, you're covered in blood. And he says, the minute you made a certain connection in covenant, even with you two, that thing had to be broken. Okay, but the enemy would like to bring that thing up and try to catch it up with you. But God says, no, it will not get to you, neither will it get to your children. And they shall walk strong and mighty, says the Lord. He says, that curse was broken when you were born. under the strangest of circumstances being born, God said it was still broken because you were the one to break this thing off the bloodline, says the Spirit of the Lord. And he says, so walk up tall, because the healing anointing that's on your life is what the enemy would like to target. But God says, you will not lose it. In fact, this day, you walk into a greater dimension of the healing anointing. There will be miracles that shall come in this church in the days to come. And from here, it shall be noised abroad throughout Cleveland, throughout all the area of what the Lord is doing. And the Lord says, walk in that apostolic anointing very strong, son. He says, walk in it. He says, walk in it because you have it. He says, it's yours. And walk in the balance of it and bring in that new dimension of the prophetic. The evangelistic is an area you love, but the prophetic is something that God says, when you marry the prophetic with the evangelistic, he says, people will be healed. They won't all come to this church, but they'll be affected on the streets because you'll have walking evangelists ministering to them prophetically, changing their lives, says God. And you shall see my mighty hand, says the Spirit of the Lord. Cancers will be healed in this house. AIDS will be healed from your hands, not only from in this house, but from this house, says the Spirit of the Lord. And it shall be noised abroad, says God, of the great things that I'm doing. And he says it's because you're not selfish. You're not selfish. So I release upon you, sir, woman of God, apostolically release upon you a freshness of his Spirit. If you don't mind, I'll lay hands on you. There's a new day.
Thank you, Lord.
Church of North Coast, put your hands this way. Pastor Leon.
There's a new day.
You stand with me.
There's a new day.
Thank you, Lord.
We release this upon you. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
There's a new day.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
New fire. New dimension. And a new substance. How many? Where's your son? You got a son? Oh, I lay hands upon you for your son. Your son has a fire inside of him that's brewing. And we declare it comes to full manifestation. What is his name?
Louis.
I command you to prophesy. I command you to come forward now. I pull you out of that little transitional place into a place of fullness in God. You are called, and you shall carry this anointing to your generation and two generations to follow, says God, in the name of Jesus. Can everybody rejoice? It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day.
There's a new day.
It's a new day. Say it. It's a new day. Say it. It's a new day. Say it.
It's a new day.
It's a new day. Look at somebody and tell them. It's a new day.
It's a new day.
One more time. It's a new day.
It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day.
Can you turn the lights on in the house a little bit? Just turn them up a little bit. This is one thing every pastor listening here tonight in ministry, this is what the Lord told me. He says this, please hear me. Please, everybody hear me. God says that our offering time has to be as intense of worship time than anything. It's got to change from a preliminary. Okay? Let me tell you something. If you're not a giver, but you lay on the floor and cry with your hands up in the air and you scream and you run around, but you're not a giver, you're not a worshiper. Because your greatest act of worship is giving. You don't have to be manipulated, just instructed. Did you hear me? What did I say? Just instructed. And I know a generation of ministry has contaminated the call for giving. And we say, we want a line over here for $1,000. And we want another line over here for $500. And we've messed it up. But I need you to know that that is not unbiblical. Exodus 25 asks for a free will gift. He says, give of your own free will. But then God proceeds to tell them what he wants of their free will, not what they wanted. He says, give this. Are you here? Are you with me? Now, I was instructed that there was a budget, and the budget is about somewhere around $8,000 right now. And we also came to worship, but we came to meet a budget as well. Amen? Listen to me. Whenever new dimensions are being opened up to you, God will always see how far in you want to go by how much you want to give. He'll see how far in you want to go by how much you're willing to give. Pastor, I don't know much, but when it came time for this ministry, how much did you give to make sure that this thing lived? No, you, not the conference, this ministry at large. You practically gave, if I can see it right, you practically gave everything as an investment to make sure that this gets done. Mm-hmm. So there's been times you've given back more than what the church gave you in salary. That's why it'll go far, because he was willing to give far. Amen? I don't complain about where I am right now. And sometimes I have to give everything, because I can see into the future that if I can get this done today, when I'm dead, it'll be alive much better than me. Y'all hear me? So tonight, seriously, we need you to sow. And this is the deal. This is the season of sowing. The season of reaping is right around the corner. And this is what God told me, especially for this meeting. He said this. He said, it is true that before you can get the seed in the ground, it will give you a harvest. That's Bible. You hear me? Y'all hear me? Anybody excited about that? Pastor Robert Stearns last night, he said, some of you, and I was thinking the same thing, he says, some of you will invest $1,000 in this meeting. I don't know if you did it last night, but I'm going to pull on you tonight. I'm just going to pull on you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I'm going to go hit your spirit right now. I'm going to pull on your spirit. If that's you and the Lord tells you to do that, do it. Don't be intimidated. I remember when I gave my first $1,000. It was kind of hard, because I had, you know, just got a little comfortable and felt like, you know, brother got a little change. I had my little $1,000, and I went to a conference, a prophetic conference, because I was going to be a blessing. I was going to show up. I had paid for a hotel room, a rental car,
I had done all these things, and y'all know my offering was going to be the typical $100. It was about to be the typical $100. And then God says to me, he says, son, I want $1,000 tonight. I went I was like, that was an unknown tongue, Father. No. No, but seriously, I said, okay, because then at that point, I know God said it, but how many of y'all know we do these silly things like, okay, give me a sign. Sit, let me fleece it. Well, the man of God is up preaching, and right in the middle of the sermon, watch what he said. You don't need no fleece. Do what God said. Well, I just went 1-THOUSAND 00 over 100, wrote that little check, and then it became little. Because the minute I let it go, I was reaching for 10,000. And that's my next mark. I'm reaching for 10. I'm reaching. You understand? That's my next one. And then I'm going to go from 10,000 to 100,000. I'm just going to keep adding zeros until I'm just like dropping a million, dropping it like it's hot. Amen? Those of you who can sow $1,000 tonight, do it. Seriously. I don't think I need to call you up. Those of you who can sow $500 tonight, do it. Don't see it as an offering. See it as an investment, a seed going into the ground of your life and changing your life. You can do a credit card, but many of you can do this tonight. This night is a life-changing night. Amen? This is the gateway into a new day. Ma'am, are you giving $1,000? Let me just ask you, how much you giving? Huh? 250? Watch this. Listen. God told me to tell you that you go give $1,000 in the days to come. This year, coming, 2012, you're going to give it at least 5 times with no sweat. Just as a seed. Just like that. Bam. Just like that. You receive that? Huh? Somebody receive it for her, because she don't act like she's receiving it. And it might just be her personality, but you know. See, if it was my cousin Todd Hall, he'd have made you run around before you can even get the blessing. Praise him. Jump, jump, jump. Who's going to join her? Some people are going to do 250 tonight. Who's going to join her tonight? We need some people to sow tonight. How many of y'all know Leon is anointed? This cost? Pastor told me, how much did you say? $2,300 for the lights? Just for this building. That don't have anything to do with the other buildings. So every time we turn the lights on, the electric, that was conference expense. Everybody that will tonight. So, okay? Are you from Youngstown? Uh-huh. You went to school with me. I knew that. You live here? You drove from Youngstown? For real? We went to school together, graduated together. That's amazing. I kept looking at her saying, I know her. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, I don't know, ushers, you do what you do. Y'all get ready. No, y'all know what? Instead, let's do something different. Let's break the mold, okay? Let's break the mold. Did you know I was going to do this, Reverend Walter? You didn't know I was going to do this? Everybody, get your seed in your hand. Stand up. Come on, stand up with your seed in your hand, with your offerings in your hand. Come on, quick as you can, quick as you can. Get your offering in your hand and raise it up. Say this. Say, money, you are servant to me. However, I am a son of God. Women say the same thing. Say, I am a son of God.
I know how to handle what the Lord gives me. I command you to go into the ground, come up speedily with a multiplied harvest over my life. In the name of Jesus. Now watch this. The Lord told me to pronounce over you a 1,000 times blessing. That your seed shall come back to you 1,000 times according to Deuteronomy. Chapter 1, I believe it's verse 19. I release upon you, prophetic release, a 1,000-fold return upon your seed in the name of the Lord Jesus. I release that upon your life right now. Listen, if you're not giving what God put in your heart to give, go back and get it right now. Go back and make the adjustment. If you got to make an adjustment, do it. But as soon as you got your seed, come bring it right here and lay it on this right here. As soon as you got it, come drop it. Father, this seed fully manifest according to your word. In the name of Jesus. We command it to multiply. Like you took the limitations off the fish and the loaves, we take the limitations off. And we call back 12. Baskets full, not 11. We enter into a new place. 12 baskets. I'm enjoying myself way too much right about now. We command it done. Those ushers that's supposed to take care of this, you can. Come get it. Everybody, please receive Mr. Leon Timbo. One more, wait. Before that, would you all one more time praise the Lord for Pastor Lewis and his lovely wife? Now, please put your hands together and receive the conference host, Brother Leon Timbo.
Well, have a seat for a minute. I want to talk to you. About 5 minutes and 2 seconds. We said it earlier, but I'm going to say it again just in case you didn't know. If you want something new from the presence of God, you have to be willing to go where you've never gone before. It's imperative that we understand the prophetic significance of this day. We're going to have about 45 minutes. That's a pretty long potty break, I know. We have about 45 minutes to prepare for 11, 11, 11 at 11. And when you come tonight, please come ready to be and do something different. Again, it's funny, we were doing all the work for the conference today, and just as a matter of the word getting out, the word getting around, it was tweeted to almost 2 million people that we were going to be here gathered today. Got a call from a pastor. Said, did you know Reverend Run tweeted your name today? Did you know that he tweeted your name and tweeted what was going on? You have no idea. Don't count who you see here and think that you're not changing the world. Yeah, we over here in Lorain, Ohio, right by the Walmart. And if it wasn't for Church of the North Coast, Walmart probably wouldn't be here. There ain't much of a population outside of the Church of the North Coast. But God is doing things all around by the remnant that's in this place. And again, if you want to be a part of what's happening, be ready at 11, 11, 11, at 11. I want to make a small announcement. Tomorrow, we're going to do a really significant panel discussion tomorrow night. I want to plug it now. We're going to do a significant panel discussion with all of the leaders, all of the business owners, a select few. Some of you are wondering how to apply this glory in us outside of us, how to manifest that thing. Some of you have been in the same cycle, in the same rut. We're going to have a panel discussion so that we can ask questions, be transparent, be honest about some things, so that we can elevate in 2012. There's a lot of things that have been said about 2012 over the years, you know, but I believe that it's going to be the end of the world as we know it. And it's because the remnant that God is establishing is going to look like we've never looked before. They're going to be average looking people doing extraordinary things. I guarantee you, by this summer, by the summer of 2012, the world as we know it will not look the same. It's not going to be because of a tragedy. It's going to be because what used to define our existence would no longer be able to define our existence again. And it begins with us prophetically declaring some things tonight. Amen. So if you thought about going home, what you gonna do anyway? I mean, seriously, what are we gonna do? You done stayed up late a couple times before in your life. You done did it on your job. You done did it and didn't want to do it. What you going home for? Tell somebody, what you going home for? It's Friday night. You might as well, come on, one time. Don't act your age tonight. Don't act your age tonight. Tonight, I want you to tear those muscles in your body that close around 10:45 at night. I want you to tell those muscles, get out. Tonight. And as a matter of fact, listen, if you know you ain't gonna do nothing but go to bed and watch some rerun of something tonight, you know you got friends that are gonna do the same thing. Now I dare you, here, listen. There's no sense in experiencing the presence of God like this and going back to the same friends who act the same way. I got a proposition for you. Some of them knucklehead friends that you know you've been trying to talk to, bring them into the presence of God. Tell them, I just need you to meet me at the church. I just want to give you something. I just want to give you something. No, for real. I know it's 11 o'clock. I know. I want to give you something. I just want to give you something. Yeah, we still here. You know, you just let them know. Do something different if you want something different. So when they experience the presence of God, it's going to be undeniable. Now, if you can't call your friends out here at 11 o'clock, they're not friends to begin with. If your friends got an expiration time, honey, you ain't got no friends. So, no, they're not going to call the enemies. We need, no. That's this country song I was told about. It said, preacher told me to pray for my enemies, so I pray you get hit by a car. I pray you get... It's a long story. I'm sorry. It's a country song. I didn't write it. I'm just saying. So we're not going to dismiss, but understand we have a couple of minutes before the 11:11:11. We're going to start about 10:30 with some intercession, praying into the worship atmosphere. You don't have to go anywhere. As a matter of fact, if you need some coffee, we're going to make that happen for you. And really, was that a prayer? Did some of us pray? Somebody literally said with their body. They said, I said, we're going to have some coffee. They said, play that again, Clint. I heard that. Play that again. Folgers in your cup. So that's what we're going to do. We'll see y'all in about 45 minutes. God bless. Are we? As a matter of fact, we're going to be outside. A couple of us are going to be outside. We have product. Pastor Harden has some amazing prophetic series. And there's some worship music series. I think we may have some of Antonio Allen's CDs left over. I'm not sure. But go back in the back and check that out. We're going to get this coffee together. We're going to get all this going. Call your friends and we'll see you at 11 o'clock. 10:30 for intercession, 11 o'clock. Amen. See you soon.